Very thankful for this opportunity we have to worship the Lord together with you this morning, and we are very thankful for what Brother Mickey has brought before us today. And if it's all right, I'd like to hitch my wagon up with where Brother Mickey has been leading us this morning in God's Word. But first, I'd like to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. In listening to what Brother Mickey was preaching to us this morning, a lot of spiritual thoughts came to me that I had not seen before. And the Lord be our helper. We'd like to endeavor to look at these for a few moments this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'll read a couple of verses to you, verses 3 and 4. Paul tells Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now, in these two verses, the subject is that of being a soldier. David and his 600 men that were with him were soldiers. They fight in many battles. And Brother Mickey has, you know, drawn our attention to the Amalekites. One of the battles that David and them had to fight was against them there in 1 Samuel chapter 30. But here he tells them, in verse 3, to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, whether we like it or not, we are soldiers of Jesus Christ. As you see in the end of verse 4, he's chosen us to be a soldier. If you are a child of God living in this world, you have an enemy who is attacking you. In fact, may I say enemies that are attacking you. We have a triple threat attacking us. We have Satan, we have this world, and we have our own sinful flesh, all three daily attacking us. Now, I'll say, having been in the military, although my experience in the military is not like others, you know, the roughest time I think I had in the military is basic training, and it was nothing compared to actual real warfare and fighting. You know, and I was in the Air Force, and, you know, we had this saying about Army and Marine Corps. They're out in their tent in the mud, and it's raining, and they say, "Man, this is rough." The Air Force, they're sitting at their computer and the internet's not working. They say, "Oh, man, this is rough." But anyway, I was in the military and I can relate a little bit to the experience of what is under consideration here. But as a soldier, it's important that there's good order and discipline. You have a commander, you have a leader, and he gives you orders. And you follow those orders if you're going to be a good soldier. A good soldier. Now, he says a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He's already told you who your commander is. It's our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In fact, the word Lord means ruler. He is the captain of our salvation. Isaiah 55 calls him our leader and commander. He is our commanding officer, and he gives us orders, and we should follow those orders. As Brother Mickey was showing in the case of Saul in 1 Samuel 15, Saul did not follow those orders the way that he should have, and there were consequences as a result. And the Lord wanted him to utterly wipe out Amalek. And Brother Mickey showed us all the times that Amalek came against Israel and was a constant presence there in Exodus 17 and then 1 Samuel 15 and then 1 Samuel 30. All these attacks of Amalek show that Amalek is a picture of the enemies that you and I face. Sin, as he told Saul in 1 Samuel 15, utterly wipe it out, get rid of it. And I'll tell you, when it comes to sin in our life, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to utterly wipe it out. Don't save the best of it or the parts of it that I enjoy, the parts of it that I like. Get it all out. That's the way we should do with Amalek, because if you don't, notice what happened in 1 Samuel 30. It comes and invades a very special place to you. You know, as a soldier, he tells us here in verse 3, we're to endure hardness. It's hard being a soldier. it's hard, the life that you have. And I'm thankful, you know, we just had Memorial Day, that we live in a nation that honors and remembers those who gave it all, gave their life and sacrifice to us. And we're still reaping the benefits of that today. You know, all those that fought in World War II to keep that monster in Germany away from being our king over here. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be speaking German today and being under the Nazi rule? I'll tell you, there were a lot of people afraid when that was going on. But we had brave men who went over there and fought against our enemies and came back victorious. And may we honor their memory. But I'm going to tell you, it was hard. It was hard. That was not easy. But you know what keeps a soldier going? What keeps him going is this concept called home. They're fighting for home, and they long to return home. And how awful in 1 Samuel 30 for David and his men to come home, and it's burned up, and their family's gone. The one, very ones they were fighting for. You know, the interesting thing about Ziklag is it was not in Israel. It was in the land of the Philistines. It was actually in the land of the enemies. And if you read the previous chapter, chapter 29, the Philistines were assembling and forming to go fight against Israel. David was not where he needed to be. He was a stranger in a strange land. But you know what's interesting is that's exactly where the church is. The church is here in the world. We are strangers in a strange land, but the Lord's given us the church. I'm thankful that we now meet on fifth Sundays. We don't have to count Sundays. We know if it's Sunday, we're going to be meeting. But this is our safe haven. This is the place where we can come away from fighting and rest for a little while. You know, if we can keep the world and Satan and sin out there, then this will be a safe haven. But you know, the church is under attack. And the Satan and our enemies would like nothing better than to have this place gone. And if we let them in, that's exactly what's going to happen. You know, if David and them had known the Amalekites were going to attack, they'd have stood guard and made sure they protected that city. And that's the way our enemies attack. It's such a subtle way. When you least expect it, when you least realize it, to try to take away this place of rest. You know, that's actually a term in the military, R&R, rest and relaxation. They'll take soldiers sometimes who've been fighting for constantly for a long time and take them to a place where they can rest and recover and relax. I'll tell you, it's a great place that the Lord, our commander, has given us this place where we can come and we can rest and be refreshed from the difficulties of life. You know, he tells them to endure hardness. You know, that's exactly what we face in our daily struggles out in this life. But we can come to this place. You know, that's actually some of the things they taught us in leadership training, that the high-ranking officers had a duty and a responsibility to inspire their troops to want to do what they were ordering them to do. They'd come and they'd inspire them. They'd talk to them. They'd encourage them. They built relationships with them. And that's exactly what our leader has done. He's brought us to this place where we can rest and we can have the gospel preached. You know, Brother Mickey mentioned that Brook Bezor, the place of good news. That's this place. It's a place of good news, good tidings, where we can come here and sing when we all get to heaven. What a day that will be. You know, when we think about being a soldier in the military, and talked about World War II, when you're fighting a war, there's a little bit of uncertainty. Who's going to win this battle? Now, we're thankful in the United States. We have a military dominance that where we go, we are generally the superior power. But it's not always that way. You know, this country was first formed. We went up against the British Empire, the biggest, most powerful army on earth. It was not a certainty that we were going to win that battle. But I'm thankful to tell you, as soldiers in the Lord's army, it's a certainty there's victory in the end when we all get to heaven. Not if. The captain of our salvation has gone before us and he secured the victory. And these little skirmishes we get in are nothing compared to what he did. Nothing compared to the great battle that he accomplished. Our warfare, I'm thankful to tell you this morning, is accomplished through the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, our leader and commander. So the hardness that we endure is nothing compared to that. Notice he tells them to endure hardness. What David and his men experienced was hard. In fact, as Brother Mickey pointed out, they spake of stoning him. They blamed him. That it's your fault that we're in this situation. You know, that's the tough thing about being the leader is you get blamed for a lot of the things that take place. You know, I mentioned earlier that Ziklag was in the land of the Philistines, in the land of the strange land, the enemy's land. And the church is in the world. But you know, the church is like a ship in the ocean. That ship does fine on the ocean. You know, storms come and it can be difficult. As long as the ocean is on the outside, as long as the water is on the outside, that ship will float and things are fine. But when the water gets on the inside, that's when you start to go down and start sinking. That water belongs out there, just as the world and Satan and sin belongs out there. But when it gets in, that's when you have problems. So here, they've got problems at Ziklag. It's burned down. Their families are gone. They spake of stoning David. And as Brother Mickey said, he prayed and says this, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. That word encourage means inspire courage. Courage means the mental or moral strength to persevere. What keeps you going on? I tell you, a soldier needs courage. He needs courage, and so he needs encouragement. That means to inspire courage. And so David, as a soldier, encouraged himself in what? The Lord his God. You know, if you're going to endure hardness as a good soldier, you need some inspiration. We need to be encouraged in the Lord our God. We need to hear the good things that the Lord has done for us and is still doing for us. Notice this word, endure. You know, endurance is something that really separates those. You know, endurance is a hard thing. It's hard to day in, day out, be the same, be faithful. You know, the Marine Corps has this saying, semper fi, semper fidelis. It's Latin for always faithful. That's what is needed in a soldier. They need endurance. They need faithfulness. They need to do it day in, day out, always the same. Always doing this as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But as we consider this, notice verse 4. No man that warreth. You know, a soldier is a warrior. And the one that warreth, he says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, it's my belief and opinion that that's what David was doing in the land of the Philistines. He had entangled himself in the affairs of this life. Now, if I was in his shoes, I'm not saying I'd do it any different. He had Saul after him and attacking his life. So he left left Canaan's land and went into the land of the Philistines. And if you back up a few chapters there in 1 Samuel, I think he had stirred the Amalekites up like a hornet's nest because he had gone and invaded their countries and utterly wiped them out. And then when he came back, the Philistines said, well, where have you been off fighting? Where have you made a road today? And he says, oh, I've been attacking Judah. He acted like he'd been up in the north country fighting his own brethren, when really he'd been in the south country fighting against those enemies down there, his enemies. And so he had got entangled. You know, we think about we as soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can get entangled with the affairs of this life. Entangled. That's an interesting word. You know, when Jesus gives the parable of the sower, he talks about seed falling by the wayside, seed falling on good ground, seed falling on stony ground, seed falling on thorny ground. And all those different grounds, I believe, as he explains that parable, relate to our experience and what can keep the Word of God from being fruitful in our life. But on the thorny ground, he talks about the Word of God as seed being sown on thorny ground. I picture a place where there's a lot of briars, thorny ground. And it says, and it chokes it and it becomes unfruitful. He says, the thorns are the cares of this life. The cares of this life. If you get caught up and wrapped up in the cares of this life, it'll keep the Word of God from being fruitful and being a blessing in your life. And that's something our enemy wants. And so when we think about this thorny ground, if you've ever been a briar patch and you try to go through there, it entangles you. Those thorns grab a hold of you. They hurt you. You got to remove them. And that's the way the cares of this life are. If you're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you should not get caught up in the cares of this life. In fact, that will hinder you from being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It'll distract you from the mission at hand. It'll distract you from the orders that the Lord has given us, and it'll make us not effective as a soldier of good of the Lord. You know, in thinking about that, a soldier out there fighting in a foreign land is subjected to the propaganda and the ideas that the enemy would love to brainwash you with. This happens to our prisoners of war sometimes, where they will try to influence you and try to keep, they'll try to convince you that you're on the wrong side of this conflict. And they will try to brainwash you. And I'll tell you, when it comes to our enemies, you know, the devil in this world appeals to our own sinful flesh to lead us away to join the other side. The side that's actually going to lose. Not the side that's going to win. The side that is against the things of God. You know, we know that because the Bible tells us that this world is the enemy of God. James chapter 4. Whosoever is a friend of this world is an enemy of God. You know, Brother Mickey mentioned us, not repeating the history of those who came before us. You know, they taught us in the military that you need to know history so you don't repeat it. You know, the history of us is that we were the enemies of God. Romans chapter 5. He commended His love toward us while we were His enemies. He reconciled us to God. Why would we go back to that? Why would we repeat the history? We've been rescued from that and been placed here in the Lord's army and as His soldiers. That's not something we need to repeat. As soldiers, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. In fact, there is something they taught us that if we ever were captured, we had this code of conduct. And one of the articles in that code of conduct is that if we're captured, we will keep faith with our fellow prisoners. You know, when you are in the military, you're a part of a band of brothers. You're part of a family, and you're supposed to operate and function as one, always in step, marching to the same orders and going forward in that way. You know, you and I, as soldiers in the Lord's army, we are to walk, as He says in Galatians 5, in the Spirit. That means in step with the Holy Spirit, in step with one another. And we are a family, a band of believers, and we should keep faith with one another. In fact, if you go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, He tells us this in verse 12, 1 Timothy 6:12, this first expression, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. The fight that you and I are engaged in is a good one. And we need to be involved in fighting this fight. Fighting against Satan. You know, Ephesians 6 tells us we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, a good soldier will do a couple things. One, he will understand and analyze his enemy and understand how they attack. In Ephesians chapter 6, he says, put on the whole armor of God. You know, you need protection. You need armor. He says, be strong in the Lord. A good soldier needs to be strong. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And He goes on to tell us to put on the whole armor of God. He says that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now that word wile means the deception. He comes in to deceive. In fact, Jesus says He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I tell you, that's a bad enemy. Coming with those intentions. But yet He comes in His subtlety and acts like that's not His intentions. What did He do in the Garden of Eden with Eve? Oh no, the Lord is the problem here. He's trying to hold you back. He's trying to keep you from being as gods, knowing good and evil. He's appealing to that idea that we might have more of a position if we didn't let the Lord hold us back. I tell you, that is all deception from Satan, so we need the whole armor of God. And may I point out something in 1 Samuel chapter 30? They came and destroyed Ziklag, and a good soldier knows how to defend himself, but also to go on the offensive. If all you do is play defense, you are bound to lose. There's got to be some offense. You know, we think about the defense, all the armor that the Lord gives us. He's issued that to us there, described in Ephesians 6. Wherewith we may fight against the devil. But there's got to be an offensive element. to the way they went back and they recovered all that they had lost and utterly wiped out the Amalekites. There was an offensive attack. Now I want you to think about what Satan in this world is trying to take from us. Trying to take our children. He's trying to take away the members of the church. He's trying to take away our attention from the things of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he tells us the weapons of our war. In fact, I'm going to turn to that because I'm not going to be able to quote all that. And I don't believe I'm not going to even try because I want to make sure that we get these words just right. It's so important here in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He says in this, verse 3, he says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." We should never think that our warfare is flesh and blood. You know, Jesus, when he was taken prisoner, told Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." We're not warring after the flesh, even though we walk in the flesh. Now notice verse 4. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Notice he says our weapons are mighty and they pull down strongholds. That sounds like an offensive attack on the offense. Offense. And we think about being soldiers in the Lord's army. It's important that we understand that the cause of Christ involves us to go out and attack the things and the ideas of this world and to attack the subtleties of Satan and rebuke them for what they are. Now notice I believe this is really where a lot of the warfare is taking place here in verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Notice where he described this warfare is taking place. It's in our mind. This is your mind is the battleground of the ideas of this world and Satan and your own sin and the Lord's Word. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." This is what these weapons do. They cast them down. They cast out the wicked thoughts. They cast out the wicked imagination and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You know, there are so many things that will try to cause you to lift yourself up or to promote itself to be something better than what the Lord has given us. But he says, bringing into captivity, this is what a good soldier of Jesus Christ does, brings into captivity, takes prisoners, every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what should happen in our mind. That you take prisoner, every thought becomes your prisoner. Don't let this world make you their prisoner. Or Satan make you its prisoner, or sin make bring you into bondage to it. But instead, we go on the offensive attack, and we bring every thought that comes into our mind to the obedience of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a lot easier said than done. A lot easier said than done. But if we are going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that's what we need to be involved in. I mentioned that there's a couple things we need to do. You analyze your enemy. You analyze your enemy and Satan and how he attacks in such a subtle way, and we put on the whole armor of God. We think about this world. And I'm thankful to tell you, the good news we have about this world is in John 16:33. Jesus says, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." He's already defeated that enemy. He's already defeated Satan and his works. And he's defeated the world. But you know, we need to defeat the world too. And you say, what is that like going and defeating the world? Well, in 1 John chapter 5, John says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Remember, fight the good fight of faith. How do we overcome this world? It's through faith. The good fight of faith. You know, you go read in Hebrews 11, what all God's people have done by faith, through the years. They have subdued kingdoms. They've stopped the mouth of lions. They have quenched the violence of fire. You just go read all the things that they've done by faith. That's how you overcome the world. You do it by faith. And so when we think about us fighting the good fight of faith, that's what we need to do. There's something else we need to do. In 1 Corinthians chapter, you know, we have our communion coming up in a couple of weeks, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I think verse 28, he says, "Let a man examine himself, and then let him eat and let him drink." First, let him examine himself. Self-examination is so important if we're going to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ, because a good soldier knows his own weakness. He finds a way to protect that or strengthen it. It takes self-examination, knowing your own tendencies, because I tell you, the enemy's studying you. The enemy's studying you to find where you're vulnerable for attack. Just as I'm sure, I have no Bible to prove this, but I'm sure the Amalekites were watching Ziklag, and when David and his warriors left, they said, "Now it's time. Let's go attack." You let your guard down, and the enemy attacks. Notice he says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Turn me to Luke chapter 16. I think we're about out of time, but I want you to notice what Jesus says here in Luke chapter 16. Don't have time to look at this entire parable, and so we'll just get right to the heart of the matter in verse 13. Luke 16, verse 13. He says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." That word mammon means riches. And so when he talks about we can't serve two masters, the reality is if you're going to try to serve God, but yet also be involved in the things of this world, remember being entangled with the affairs of this world? Jesus says it's impossible. You can't do it. You're going to love one and hate the other, or you're going to hold to the one and despise the other. And so the choice put before the Lord's people and being a soldier, are you going to follow the Lord's orders, or are you going to follow this world's orders that appeal to our sinful flesh? There's a destructive path if you go down this way, but I'll tell you, I'm not saying it's an easy path going this way. It's not. It's hard. In fact, he says in Luke, if you backed up to chapter 13, verse 24, he says, "Strive," which means fight, "to enter in at the straight gate." Work, labor, fight to enter in at the straight. S-T-R-A-I-T. That means difficult or narrow. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. It is a fight. It is a struggle to do the right thing, to go the right path, which all, by the way, is narrow and it's difficult. Not saying that following the Lord is easy. This world's path is so much brighter, so much easier, so much more enticing. But all that is mammon. Mammon means riches, the love of money, the root of all evil. And I'll tell you, if you follow down the path of riches and fame and all the attractions of this world, it'll turn you against God. Notice, you can't serve two masters. You'll hate one, love the other, hold to the one, despise the other. And so the choice is made before God's people. As Joshua said in Joshua 24, "Choose you this day whom you'll serve. You won't serve all these gods of this land?" He says, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Serve the Lord. You know, a soldier signs up for a life of service. And as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that is our Lord and Master. That is the one who we serve. And may we, like David and his men, seek the prosperity of our family, our home. As we've sung, this world's not our home, but heaven is our home. And this is our home away from home. This is our rest. This is the place where we can come as a safe haven away from this time to inspire us to keep fighting. You know, it's amazing how as the weeks go by, you know, we leave here in such a joyful state of mind, at least I do. But then you go out in that world for a little while and you come back beaten up by this world and needing a little break, needing a little rest, need a little encouragement from the Lord our God, need a little inspiration. And we come here and we receive that, and the cycle continues. But what if we didn't have this? This is worth fighting for. The kingdom of God, the cause of Jesus Christ, that we may have this a place of rest. I think if you're a good attention this morning,